You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from, and part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday. One more podcast after this one for the week, before the holiday weekend and everything, and not sure quite what the schedule will be next week, but should have a couple of podcasts up for sure at the very least. But today, we've got to talk about a couple of different things, and the first and foremost being, in the first segment, we got to talk about the defense and turnovers. That might be the first segment together, or maybe we're going to split them into one and two, depending on how long I go when it comes to these. But I did a lot of digging into the defense, and I've talked about it a little bit the past couple of days. But there's a lot of reasons why this defense has been one of the worst in the league. And we all know it's transition defense, and I want to look particularly there, along with some other things with that, maybe tired legs, different things we've talked about. And the turnovers factor into that as well. Then at some point, we'll take a look around the Western Conference as we've been doing once per week. I like that. Try and see and project a little bit going forward. And then finally, end on a bit of a lighter segment, maybe on a higher note, a happier idea. And that's looking at still that Woj article where Anthony Davis talks to him. It sounds like they talked about 2 weeks ago. And something about what he says in the beginning and listening to Woj on the radio today kind of gave me a few ideas that I just want to dive into a little bit more about that. But what he says, and even though, again, maybe it makes Pelicans fans nervous with that clock ticking, he says some things right in the beginning that I just really like to hear out of this guy. So we'll end on that note as well in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by mybookie.ag. So looking at the defense, the Pelicans have the 26th ranked defense in the league. So they're fifth worst with a 107.9 defensive rating compared to a 107.7 offensive rating. It's a negative net rating, which definitely is not what you want to have. And, you know, again, 107.9 is very bad to compare. The league leader is 101 with the Celtics. So about 6 plus points, 7 points worse basically here. And not what you want, especially when you're trying to make a march toward the playoffs, because as I've long said, all things being equal, kind of, when you look at some of these teams in the Western Conference, usually defense is what gets you in. That's the difference maker. You know, teams can go cold from if they're a good shooting team or have a good offense. You might hit spells like that. Defensively, though, if you're sound, you're usually just sound, and that's kind of a consistent constant there with you guys. So it can get you in and make a difference. Pelicans don't have it this year, and any way you look at their defense, they don't particularly have it. And, you know, with NBA.com/stats, you can really look at a lot of these play types and see how they do defensively. And when you dive into it, even on a good day, this team would be no better than basically average. Defensively, there's not much they do well. They are one of the worst teams when it comes to isolation, ranking in the 13.8 percentile of that. When it comes to the pick and roll man and defending the pick and roll in some sort of combination of the roll man and the ball handler, they're bad there too. They give up a lot of points. They rank in the 27th.6 percentile. I'm just going to go through the numbers here briefly. When it comes to the roll man and in the ball handler, there was one that was kind of good, and I got to remember what it was. And let's see here, as my internet goes slow and wants to just keep giving me a little spinny thing as I do it. So defensively, let's see if they defend the roll man well. And that's where, again, their league average. Basically, oh, they're in the top 10 when it comes to defending the roll man or the ball handler. So they don't do well with bigs on the pick and roll, but they do okay when it comes to the ball handler and trying to trap him. And that's the thing we've seen. But overall, where this team really hurts, and you can see, again, this is to illustrate the point that, yeah, while they're ranked 26, even on a good day, they're not getting up much higher than that. But where they really struggle is in transition defense, as we've said, and as you can see, it, you know, we don't need anything to really kind of look into what it is. The turnovers and points off turnovers are very high up there. But also, Mason Ginsburg at BourbonStreetShots.com put it out yesterday on Twitter that they do really poorly after they miss a shot and they're not getting back in. So teams grab a missed shot, a defensive rebound, and start running in transition against this team. And they score that way. And he didn't dive into why, and I'm working on an article about this, but I'll tell you guys basically here. It's due to a number of things that they're bad running after a miss. Part of that is their court spacing and where they are. You know, the other day on the podcast, I think it was maybe Monday, I talked about how they shoot a number of corner threes. They're one of the higher corner three-point shooting teams in the league. Well, when you have guys in the corners, they're in the worst spot to try and get back and contest in transition, whether it's off a miss or a turnover. They're in the two furthest points away, basically. And when you have Darius Miller in the corner, Dante Cunningham in the corner, each one more in the corner, that's where these guys are kind of leaving two. You're already just going to be able to play with three people in transition, let alone if you do have one guy crashing the glass, say in Davis or Cousins. They're down under the basket, so if it's a long miss, and with this team being one of the tops when it comes to three-point shooting, that leads to a lot of long rebounds. Those things jumping out to around the free throw line or further when you miss, and teams get the ball and run because it's usually a guard that's getting those type of rebounds. So that can really hurt. And I think that's really a big part of what's going on here and why this team is bad in transition defense. Now, you know, part of it also is when, again, like I said, you have a big underneath there. So it's three guys you've got up and two that can get back and maybe contest something. You're not going to have a numbers advantage there. And that's why teams are able to score. Part of it's also the turnovers. And that's where, you know, we'll get more into it maybe in the next bit here. But, you know, when you turn the ball over at the top of the three-point line or around the free throw line, teams are just going to go into a fast break and try and score on you that way. So it's a combination of these two. Also, I think it does have to do with just laziness. Guys don't get back or they watch their shots. This comes back down to basketball IQ and is something we've talked about a lot when it comes to this team. So, you know, not having the wherewithal or the idea or the urgency after the shot is up to either race back or crash the boards. Instead, they just kind of stand around watching. Got to do one or the other, and this team just kind of ball watches a lot on the offensive end. We see it, too, when the ball movement goes away. They're just watching Davis or Cousins kind of do their thing, and that's really it. So before we go into that, hey, sports fans, which is all of you, bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. That's very important. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. You have multiple deposit options, easy deposit options, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. If you can't get paid out, what good does it do? And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you've got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. You definitely want to check it out for yourselves. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all of this season's NFL and college bowl games, the NFL playoffs, what have you. You know, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And if you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. So make sure you get on there, put in that promo code LOCKEDONNBA, get some free money. Win even more money on top of that. And before you know it, you've retired in the sun on some nice beach with a boat, your boat out in the distance. So before we start looking around the league, when talking about the turnovers in the defense, something that really is important to look at, and someone else has done a better job than I at this, so go check out LockedOnPelicans.com and read the article that Jason Quigley has up there talking about the weird rotations we're seeing that right now. 8-man rotations from Alvin Gentry, despite having a much healthier roster than that. they could easily be playing 10 or 11 guys. Eight maybe in the playoffs. Right now, though, I think it's causing potentially more issues than it's worth. So check it out over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Because again, you've got tired legs, and when guys need to get back and run on defense and it's late in the fourth quarter after a miss, they're less likely to do it because they've been playing 40 minutes per game, and this team has three guys, I think, in the top 30 or 35, or maybe 16, I don't remember now, of minutes played per game. The only such team with a kind of balance like that. It's a lot of minutes on these guys in Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Davis probably has a lighter workload than it would have been because of all the time he's missed due to getting x-rayed and, you know, leaving games early and things. So certainly this is a rough stretch they're in, but they need to be doing something to try and ease the burden on these guys and make them a little bit fresher late in games, because getting one defensive stop can make the difference between winning or losing when it comes to these fourth quarter leads. So let's take a look at the Western Conference, and the Pelicans currently sit at the eighth spot at 15-16, game under 500. And look, we know it's down to basically to nine teams. The bottom of the West goes Dallas, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix, LA, and the Clippers. And the most one of those teams has is 11 wins. So that's four behind the Pelicans. That's three behind Utah, who sits at 14-17 in the ninth spot. So overall, you have to feel kind of good, you know, if you're the Pelicans about this, because Utah's who I want to focus on mainly right now, and they're in a weird spot. This is a team that, you know, I was really high on, and when healthy, has looked really good this year with a very good offense, an amazing defense still. But they've just had a ton of injuries. Their young rookie is out potentially right now in Donovan Mitchell. But the biggest one here is Rudy Gobert going down again with a sprained PCL in his knee. And he's going to probably need a month of rest, more or less. And that's after he missed a month already. And then his backup, who'd played exceedingly well in his place, Derek Favors, has missed two straight games because he had cut his eye. And that's really hurting them right now. To top it all off on that, they have a brutal schedule coming up. They play OKC, and then on the second night of back-to-back, San Antonio, before playing OKC again. And then they get, after that little rough stretch of three games in 4 days, you get to play at Denver, at Golden State, and then Cleveland comes home, comes to town right before the new year, before getting off in the new year against the Pelicans, Denver again, Miami, and then it maybe gets a little bit easier. But that's a rough eight-game stretch they have coming up. And you might see them potentially fall out of this playoff race. Their team may be late in the season that could get back in it. They're not going to blow that team up. But it's worth looking at and just keeping an eye on them, because, look, even the Pelicans have an advantage on them. The Pelicans are going to win more than that team will. So certainly that can be a good thing for New Orleans. The team that the Jazz play twice in that stretch, the Oklahoma City Thunder, though, aren't in a much better position. They're 15-15, seventh in the Western Conference, and we just don't know what the heck is going on with this team. They are struggling to try and put it all together with their big three, though they're great defensively. They struggle to score points at times, almost worse so than the Pelicans do in their worst stretches. So that's, you know, they're a tough team to make out. They have a okay schedule coming up. It's nothing too hard, especially because they get that Utah team twice. But you've got to wonder if this team at some point in the future around the trade deadline is going to just look at blowing it all up, because they just cannot get any sort of consistency going on with them. And I really thought they'd figure it out, but you've got to wonder if they just don't think they're going to keep Paul George. Is he going to be kind of traded at the trade deadline, especially given that he's an expiring contract and a free agent at the end of this year? See, we're speculating about other teams' players getting traded. Really good players, too. It happens to everybody. Not everybody, just bad teams or inconsistent teams with good players, maybe. So they're a team that's worth keeping an eye on. They're going to stay in the hunt right now. But overall, like, they're still in a bit of rough shape, and you know, long term, I don't know what they're going to do. And the other team that's in there that we really need to worry about right now is going to be the Denver Nuggets, because they have the tiebreaker over the Pelicans after winning the season series 2-1. They still are without Paul Millsap, who's going to be taking a while. Like, you're not looking at him coming back till February, mid-February, usually at the earliest. Jokic is back, but it's been coming off the bench and playing low minutes. Wilson Chandler's been injured, or not Gary Harris has been injured for them And he's been pretty good. He's one of their better players, and they're kind of beset by some weird players that aren't great. They turn the ball over a lot and other things. With some of their young guards and Emmanuel Mudiay, who has just been not good, and Jamal Murray, who doesn't play any defense. They got a tough stretch of schedule coming up all of a sudden. They're playing Minnesota, Portland, Golden State, the Utah, then they're Minnesota again, Philly, which is never going to be an easy out, even though they're struggling, and so on. So again, all of these teams have tough schedules coming up recently. We don't need to look at anyone else today, I don't think. But, you know, if I had to guess, I think Utah really starts to fall out of this playoff race. They've been struggling. They can put it together at times, but, you know, losing Derek Favors for maybe another game or two is going to probably lead to a loss. And then being without Rudy Gobert and the injuries he's had this year, again, makes things maybe just a little bit better for the New Orleans Pelicans, because they can kind of sneak into the playoffs that way, which is what it's looking like right now. Again, I'm going to tell you to check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Read that article by Jason Quigley, looking at the rotations, the minutes. See how weird it truly has been with your own eyes on your computer screen over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So I now want to revisit that Adrian Wojnarowski article just briefly before we wrap up the podcast here, when I'm just kind of tired today, to talk about something that he mentions on there with Anthony Davis, and it's right in the beginning. And, you know, I think every Pelicans fan should be a little bit worried about that article, of him kind of calling out or telling them to step up or putting a little bit more onus on the Pelicans front office and, you know, showing you that clock is starting to tick and you need to be very wary of it. But what I really liked in the beginning resonated with me, and this is where he says, Anthony Davis has listened to those prodding him to ramp up his posts, rough up a rival on Twitter, give the old grinding hashtag after leaving the practice gym. And Davis says, yeah, I hear it all. You need to post before games. If you have a dunk or make a big shot, post it. It's not me, he says. I don't ever try to do anything just for attention. I'm trying to get my work in. And goes on to say, I don't know what you're supposed to get out of posting your workout. And the All-Star stuff, hey, vote for me. I mean, if you're a fan of mine, you'll probably vote for me. If not, well, I love this because I'm not a huge fan of social media. I don't really use Facebook. I have an Instagram, but I think there's one picture on it from like over a year ago now, and my girlfriend made the Instagram for me. And on Twitter, I have some fun, and I use it because it's important for this, but oh my God, is it the absolute worst place ever at times. And it all, honest to God, makes me want to just like quit doing all of this at times. I get so sick of it. So sometimes you'll see me go periods where I'm not really talking on there. So I love this. At this point, rather than complaining about what other national media boogeymen that I know some people think are out there trying to get this team and trying to force trades of Davis to the Celtics, we covered some of this yesterday. I'd rather just do this podcast instead of deal with that. I'd rather talk about the team because that's what I like doing. I'd rather just post content. I built my team of writers over at LockedOnPelicans.com with all this in mind. Guys that just want to put out good quality content and not focus on any of the other BS. When people tell me they get so upset that like Boston fans are screaming for AD, like just don't look at it or don't let yourself get upset about that. I don't know like why that upsets someone, because it's not something that, you know, they can have or forced to happen. It's very bizarre to me. So I love to see Davis coming out and just being like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to go out and play and put up 37 points and 9 rebounds against the Wizards. And even if we had won, I don't need to say anything because look at the box score. Look at the highlights. I don't need to post a highlight that's everywhere trying to kind of like grandize yourself. He just wants to go out and do work. He just wants to go out and win. And I kind of love that attitude, and it makes me like him even more because, look, I don't care. No, he doesn't really care about accolades or anything like that. He just wants to win. He just wants to go and do his job really well. Do it really well, win some games, and that's the only thing that matters to him. Just like me here. Look, you guys don't want to listen. That's fine. I enjoy doing this, so I'm going to go out and do this podcast. I hope you guys listen. And if you're listening, you should subscribe to the podcast. You should also follow it on social media at Locked On Pels and like the Facebook page, because that does help it. But at the end of the day, like, if I bother you, don't listen to me. Just like Davis, you know, what's good does saying, hey, I worked out today, do? Nothing. It just takes time away from being focused on what you could be doing, and you're spending more energy doing that than working or whatever. So I want to just put out, I kind of identify with it in a way where I just want to put out good content and enjoy that. And I'm not trying to really correct much, on occasion maybe. You just got to like that out of the dude. He's all like more substance than flash and show. Everyone loves what Embiid is out there doing with the Instagram stuff. It's pretty hilarious when he puts the dunk on Towns, then Towns comments on it, and then Embiid just savagely rips him with the defense and everything like that. It's great. It doesn't make Embiid a better player, and he's missing games and everything like that. If that made him a better player, Davis would be doing this. Instead, I like him that he's just kind of hyper-focused on winning right now, almost to the point of maybe sounding a bit like a robot, but that's a good thing in my opinion, especially in a pivotal season like this. I'm all for having fun. My day job, the real job, I have fun with my coworkers. I have fun everywhere I try and be because life's too short to be miserable and sad. But you can really only do that once you've put in the work and gotten your job, whatever you're trying to accomplish, kind of in front of you, and you're doing it. I laugh at this Pelicans team because they act so lackadaisical at times when they're on the court with like a lack of energy, like they're not trying. Like they're the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors can do this because they've won a bunch. This Pelicans team can't. So Davis being focused on this stuff, I think, is absolutely fantastic. And if you're a Pelicans fan, I think you should like that too. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. One more podcast left in the week. Tomorrow, I'll preview the Magic game coming up, the Heat game on Saturday, back-to-back for the Pelicans. Maybe get you guys set for the Christmas Day slate of games as well. There's a few I'm like really looking forward to watching as well with that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Christmas Day games are so great. I have so much fun watching these just all day long, like parking your butt down with leftovers after you've opened presents, and then you get the best present of all. Good NBA basketball. Nothing better than that. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Not sure what the schedule is going to be like just yet for the podcast next week. Likely Wednesday is when we'll make our return. Maybe one on Tuesday. Not entirely sure just yet. So it'll be a shorter week, but we've still got tons to talk about and will be talking about here on Locked On Pelicans. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.